Are you feeling absolutely confused, maybe even desperate? You don't know what to do. You don't know where to turn. So you turn to a friend and you say, "Will you pray for me? Please pray for me. I don't know what to do." What if your friend would turn to you and say, "I will pray for you, but I want to know, will you do whatever God says?" What would you do? Would you say, "No, I just want prayer"? We'll talk about it today. Have you ever noticed, beloved, that many, many times when people cannot find a solution, when they cannot figure out what to do, they're at their wit's end, they're at the end of their human power, they're impotent, then they want someone that is omnipotent. And often when man's thoughts will not go to God, they will go to God when all else seems impossible, and they want help from God. And many times what they want is they want help from God, but they don't want interference in their lives. They want to pray. They want someone to come along and say, "This is what you should do." But when it comes to saying, "This is the way, and I want you to walk in it, and I don't want you to turn to the right, and I don't want you to turn to the left, but I want you to observe to do according to all I've commanded you, all that God has commanded you," we stand there and we say, "Well, that seems unreasonable. But I don't think God would expect me in my situation to have to endure that or to have to go through that, or he would want me to be unhappy. So I'm sorry." We don't want God to interfere in our lives. This week, we're going to look at Jeremiah chapter 35 through 39. We're going to look at a chapter a day. And as we look at it, we're going to see not only this attitude that I want prayer but not interference, but we're also going to look at leadership. Later on in the week, we're going to see the importance of leadership and how the leadership of a nation, the leadership of a government, of a local government, can literally change the course of people's lives. And then we're going to see the importance of you and I sticking with God no matter the cost, no matter the pain, no matter the suffering, because there is a future and there is a hope. And this is what we've seen as we looked at Jeremiah when he says, "I know the plans that I have for you, the thoughts I have for you. They're thoughts of good. They're not thoughts of evil. I want to give you a future. I want to give you hope." But who does that future belong to? Who does that hope belong to? Well, as we go to Jeremiah chapter 35, we have to understand that Jeremiah is not put together chronologically, but it's put together thematically by God. There is a purpose in his writing, because although he was living in history and in time and in space, so to speak, and in a chronology of life, this book was written down so that you and I might understand the heart of God, the mind of God, and that we might have his precepts for life so that we might know how to live. So when we come to Jeremiah chapter 35, we come to a story of the Rechabites. And you think, well, why is this story here? Well, let's look at it. And we're going to start at Jeremiah chapter 35, verse 1. And as we do, it's during the days of Jehoiakim. Now, he's just been talking in Jeremiah about the days of Zedekiah. Remember, Zedekiah is the last king of Israel to sit on the throne, and he is deposed from the throne, taken from the throne, taken into exile, as we're going to see at the end of this week, because he did not listen to God. So he goes from Zedekiah, the last king in the Babylonian captivity, which happens in 586, and now he backs us up to the reign of Jehoiakim. So it's the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, saying, go to the house of the Rechabites, speak to them, and bring them to the house of the Lord into one of the chambers and give them wine to drink. Now, this is a very specific instruction. Then I took, and you're going to have to watch because I don't know how to pronounce these things. I told you, I never got hooked on phonics. All right, then I took Jehazani, the son of Jeremiah, the son of, I can't pronounce it, and his brothers and all of his sons and the whole house of the Rechabites, and I brought them to the house of the Lord. Now, one of the things that we teach you when you study the Bible is mark key repeated words. And whenever you go through the Old Testament, one of the things you always want to mark is the house of the Lord. It's referring to the temple that was built by Solomon in Jerusalem, the temple where they worship. I always just color it a dark blue. If you want to know how to do this and you want to go deeper with us and you want to study, you can go to preceptsforlife.com and you can download a study guide that will help you discover truth for yourself. By the way, I love hearing from you. And when you come online and you give me those few words and you tell me what God's doing and how you and your wife are studying together and how you're bringing your children in and how even the young children are sitting there listening to Miss Kay. You can tell them I'm pretty Aunt Kay. It's my delusion for me in my old age. But I love it because you're studying the Word of God. So mark the house of the Lord. Into the chamber of the sons of Hannah, the man of God, which was near the chamber of the officials, which was above the chamber of Messiah, the son of Shalom, the doorkeeper. All right, now, he's bringing him into this special place in the temple. And it were special rooms where the priests and the others that took care of the temple would meet. Then I sat before the men of the house of the Rechabites, pitchers full of wine and cups. And I said to them, drink wine. But they said, we will not drink wine. For Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father commanded us, saying, you shall not drink wine, nor your sons forever. Here's where, if you're marking the text, you want to mark forever, because that's very key. This was a command that this father gave to these people to be passed down from generation to generation. Listen, we are Rechabites. And because we are Rechabites, we will never drink wine. Teach that to your children. Have your children teach it to their children forever. This is the tradition of this family. This is the command of this father. They also said, you shall not build a house, you shall not sow seed, you shall not plant a vineyard or own one, but in tents you will dwell all your days, that you may live many days in the land where you sojourn. We read about different sects of people that live separate lives, that the Mennonites and others that drive buggies, that do not use electricity and that. This is because this is something that has been passed down from generation to generation. Well, this is what happened with the Rechabites. They were not to build houses. They were to dwell in tents. They were not to sow because they were going to be a nomadic people. Now, we know that in Baal worship, that there was in Baal worship, there was a lot of drinking of wine. So it could have come from that fact that they're not going to even get close to the things of the enemy. But what is the point here? Well, watch. They say, we have obeyed the voice of Jonadab, the son of Rechabah, our father, in all that he commanded us, not to drink wine all our days, we, our wives, our sons, or our daughters, nor to build houses to dwell in. And we do not have vineyard or field or seed. We have only dwelt in tents and have obeyed. Do you see that word, obeyed? All right, what do you do? Well, this word is key to understanding this chapter. And obeyed and observed is going to be used about 6 times. So when you're reading the word and you see a word pop up in a chapter or pop up in a segment of scripture and it's used over and over and over again, it's a key word. God is repeating himself because he wants you to get the point, because he doesn't want you to miss it. So it says, we have obeyed and done according to all that Jonadab, our father, commanded us. But when Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up against the land, we said, come and let us go to Jerusalem before the army of the Chaldeans and before the army of the Arminians. So we have dwelt in Jerusalem. Now, the reason that they moved into Jerusalem, that they left the fields and they came into Jerusalem, was simply because they couldn't live out there because the enemy was out there. But although they had to move into the city, they were not going to disobey their fathers. And he says, thus, then came the word of the Lord to Jeremiah, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, go and say to the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, will you not receive instruction by listening to my words? What is he saying? He's saying, listen, I'm God and I am talking to you. So many times we'll get the advice of a friend, but we won't go to God to get his advice. We go to those that are impotent to do anything instead of going to the one that is omnipotent who can do all things. We go to people that have limited wisdom and limited knowledge and limited resources when we could go to God who is omnipresent, omnipotent, and who is has all knowledge and all wisdom and has the power and the might to do whatever he says. And so this is what he's saying. God is saying, hey, you're not listening to me. He says, will you not receive instruction by listening to my words? Think on that for a minute, and we'll be right back. Welcome back, beloved. Welcome back to the Rechabites. The Rechabites that say, hey, I'm not going to drink that wine. Take away the cup. The Rechabites become an illustration that God wants to use with His people. And when I left off before the break, we said, will you not receive instruction by listening to my words? This was what God wanted Jeremiah to say to the people of Judah and Jerusalem. Now watch what he says. The words of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, which he commanded his sons not to drink wine, are observed so that they don't drink wine to this day, for they have obeyed their father's command. Put another blue circle over obeyed. Here it is used for a third time. He says, but I have spoken to you again and again, yet you have not listened to me. They were listening to their father, to their grandfather, to their great grandfather, and they were obeying because he said, you shall not do it forever. And yet here was God Almighty, the creator, the former of the nation of Israel, and they were not listening to God. He goes on to say, also, I have sent to you all my servants, the prophets, sending them again and again, saying, now, turn now every one of you from your evil deeds, from your evil way, amend your deeds. Do not go after other gods to worship them. Then you will dwell in the land which I have given to you and to your forefathers. But you have not inclined to me, nor listened to my words. Now, listen is a key word in the book of Jeremiah. And I draw a little green ear over it. And if it says you have not listened, then I put a slash through it, just like you see on signs these days, because everybody's not reading the same language. So there's an ear if you've listened. If you have not listened, there is an ear with a slash. And what he's saying is, I have sent you one prophet after another prophet after another prophet. I have been speaking to you over and over and over again, and you have not even inclined yourself to me. You have not even listened to my words. Isn't that sad? Isn't that sad? Now, what is God saying to you today? God didn't write this just to have it for them. He wrote it for every generation to have it until He shows up in person and rules over all the nations of this earth. The question is, are you inclining your heart towards God, or do you just want prayer? Do you just want deliverance without knowing and hearing the heart of God and obeying Him? Are you listening to His words, not hearing them? You sit in church, you hear them. You hear them and maybe you're texting in church, or you hear them and maybe you're flipping through something else, or maybe you're looking at your watch to see if He's gone overtime. But are you listening? Are you hanging on His every word? This is the purpose of this ministry. The purpose of Precept Ministries International is to teach you how to discover truth for yourself, how to hang on His every word, and then to go deeper with others and to get in small group Bible studies and discuss these things. And we provide you the materials to do this. I mean, if you like this program, you can know, hey, you can go even deeper and you can go deeper with others. Just get on our website and we'll show you where there's a class closest to you. Or the other thing that we want you to do, we want you to discover truth for yourself. We want you to go deeper. Do you hear the D's? We want you to disciple others. We want you to take these truths and to pass them on to others. Now listen to what he says. Indeed, the sons of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, have observed. There's the word observed. They have observed the command of their father, which he commanded them. Well, if they've observed it, they've obeyed it. So I put an O over it, a blue O over it. But this people has not listened to me. In other words, do you see the comparison? Here are people that are obeying an ordinary forefather and living by what he said. And here I am, the eternal God, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the creator of the heavens and the earth, the one that holds your breath in my hands. I'm the one that gives life. I'm the one that wounds. I'm the one that heals. I'm the one that kills. I'm the one that makes alive. And you're not listening to me? You know, how stupid. Verse 17, he says, therefore, when you see a therefore, what's the therefore, therefore? And I put three red dots in the shape of a triangle so that I see the therefore because it's a term of conclusion. He says, therefore, thus says the Lord God of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I am bringing on Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem all the disaster I have pronounced against them. I have said it over and over again because I spoke to them, but they did not listen. Mark, listen. I have called to them, but they did not answer. And then Jeremiah said to the house of the Rechabites, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel. Now listen, because you have obeyed, another blue circle, the command of Jonadab, your father, kept all of his commands and done according to all that is commanded you. Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Jonadab, the son of Rechab, shall not lack a man to stand before me always. What is God saying? You obeyed your forefather. You made a deal and you obeyed. And I notice that. And I appreciate obedience. He's not telling anybody else not to drink wine. He's not telling anybody else that they have to dwell in tents. He's not telling them that they can't sow. He's just saying, here are people that are people of their word. Here are people that listen. Here are people that obey. Here that are people that when I offer them a cup of wine, and they may want it, they're not going to take it because they're going to stand true to their promise. And he says, and yet you will not even listen to me. What you're going to see is you are going to see that God honors obedience. God honors obedience. When you get to Jeremiah 37, it says, King Zedekiah said, please pray to the Lord, our God, on our behalf. Zedekiah, who we are going to see, would not listen to God, who would not do what God said, who wanted to know what's the word of the Lord. Oh, please pray for us. Did not want the life of obedience that goes with listening to the word of God. We're going to see it all this week, and it's going to be very clear. What is God's message to you, precious one? Do you simply want God there as your boy to get you what you need, to deliver you, to take care of you, but you do not want to obey him? Precious one, let me ask you a question. Do you know who he is? He is God. There is no other. He is the one that judges in righteousness and in holiness. He is the one who tells you that you are to live by his every word that comes out of the mouth of God. His words are spirit. His words are life. If you want to live a life not where you're desperately crying for prayer, but where you're walking so that you know and understand your God and his will, then you've got to be a man, a woman, a teenager, a child, for those of you that are listening with mom and daddy, of the book. Listen and obey.
Do you love Kay Arthur's teaching? Would you like to get up to speed on all of Precept Ministries' news and events? Join us on Facebook by visiting precept.org/Facebook. Receive daily biblical encouragement, special messages from Kay, updates on new products, event announcements, and get connected with others seeking the truth from God's Word.
See you on Facebook.
We are on the air because of friends who give generously to this ministry. Our financial partners at every level provide the faithful, ongoing support we need to touch thousands of lives every single day. To partner with us, visit preceptsforlife.com today. Your much-needed gift will help us reach the world with the Word of God.
So as we bring this program to a close, what is our precept for life? A precept is a standard by which we live. What is our standard for life? What can we learn from today? We're to learn that we are not only just to hear the Word of God, but we are to listen to it so that it goes deep in our hearts and so that we realize that it's the Word of God and this is the way that we are to live. And I can tell you this, that if you will continually, day by day, listen to God and know God through listening to Him, And really study His Word as we're doing. If you will do that, then you won't find yourself in situations where you're saying, oh, pray for me, pray for me, pray for me. I don't know what to do. I'm panicked. I'm desperate. You won't be that way. Of course you'll ask for prayer because we help one another through our prayers. But you will not find yourself in that panic because Daniel 11:32b, which is speaking of difficult times, tells us that the people who know their God will be able to stand firm. They will be able to take action. They won't be immobilized. So, precious one, know this, that if you will develop the habit of listening to God every day. This is a big book. God wants you to know all this book. We live by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. And this book, the Bible, is every word that comes out of the mouth of God. And if you will learn to feast on His Word day by day, just as the children of Israel gathered their manna day by day and had enough and sufficient for that day, so you will have sufficiency for all things in life because you will know your God. And whatever comes your way, you will understand that God is sovereign. He's filtered it through His fingers of love. He's in control. His sovereignty rules over all. And you can walk in that peace that passes all understanding. Why? Because as God blessed the Rechabites, God will bless you for listening to Him and for obeying, for walking in the light of His Word. Will you take that challenge? Let us help you. That's what Precept Ministries International is all about. Go online, download our catalog, and see what we have that will help you feed on God's Word day by day.
Thank you for watching today. To order your copy of today's program, log on to our website at preceptsforlife.com. Join us for our next program as Kay shares more Precepts for Life.